Morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's a good day.
Yes.
It is a good day. A bit echoey. Better? Sounded like I was talking into those Thai mics then for a minute. Fantastic. Okay, so we're continuing with our health check series. Four questions to gauge your spiritual health. And originally Steve's first question was, am I undercover? Which was a great message. Really just looking at putting ourselves under God's cover, putting ourselves under the covering that God has also appointed for us as well, and the benefits of that. And just to point out that this health check series, the questions are asking us if we're doing a certain thing, but the main outcome is to actually see what the benefits are of when we are doing it. When we start to take a physical health check and we make those shifts and changes that we're advised to make, we see the benefits of it. And say, okay, if you stop doing this, you will feel this way. If you start doing this, you will feel this way. And I'm sure we've all made physical health changes at some point where we've seen the improvement of it. It's kind of like, they're worse, it gets worse. So, you know, you have too many McDonald's in a month, you feel the effect of that. So we've had more McDonald's than normal these last few weeks, and it's kind of, it's becoming a regular thing. It's like, man, this is ridiculous. But you feel the effect of that, you don't feel as healthy. Needless to say. And then we were looking at the second question, which is, am I tithing? Which is, we heard last week from Erin Jane's message, that it's not a choice. It's something that we need to do, and we're robbing ourselves when we don't. I just want to say that if you didn't hear that message, you can access it through Kingdom Faith website. And I would just urge you to listen to that. It'll be the most impacting 40 minutes that you've probably had in the last few years. Because I can say for me it was. As I listened to it, it was like, man, this is an amazing message. There's nothing made up. There's not an opinion here. It's sheer scripture. And for all of these health check series, we want to stay as close to the scriptures as possible, because that's where our health's drawn from. We can get opinions, and we can read great books, and we can hear other people's revelations, but nothing increases our spiritual health more than hearing the pure word of God, as is written in the Bible. So today's question is, am I reading and praying? Am I reading and praying? Now, some of you thinking, I read all the time. Vogue. Okay. Looking. Fast forward. Don't know if those magazines are still going anymore. CBeebies, Weekly, Beano, Dandy. Lord of the Rings series. Other wizard-based, unnameable books which people read. All these things that we... Yes, everybody says, yeah, I'm reading. I've got this nailed. When I say reading, I'm kind of talking about reading this, which is the Bible. I'm not even talking about reading a John Bevere book, or I'm not even talking about reading the Word for today. I'm talking about reading the Word for today.
Yes.
The actual Word. Okay, that's a bit cheesy, I do apologise. I don't tend to do that very often. Getting into the Word, reading your Bible. And if you're like me, it's all too easy sometimes to pick up a good Christian book, which you are loving, and it kind of takes the place of your Bible for a little bit. Your Bible stays in your bag or on the shelf, and it's, what do I read? Do I read more of John Bevere, or do I read my Bible? And you kind of think, well, I'm really enjoying reading this John Bevere book, so I'm going to do that. And or maybe that's just me. It's like, shame on you, you're the pastor and you shouldn't do things like that. I get it wrong too sometimes. But sometimes we just get drawn into something else. Or, you know, generally I don't tend to read anything outside of my Bible and other Christian ministry books or leadership books. I just don't have the time to do that. I've got a collection of books which are still sat there, which I'll keep telling myself, one day I'm going to go on a holiday, which I'll be able to read something else. At the moment, that's not happening, nor will it happen for the next 20 years or so, I should imagine, until me and Sam go on holiday alone. The books will still be there. I've got the Hunger Games series. It's still in the cellophane. It's like, I'm never going to get to read this. It's like, but anyway, I'm reading what's important, and that's what matters. And am I praying? We all know the importance of prayer, whether we've been coming to church all our lives, whether we've been in church for a few weeks, whether it's the first time in church, whatever. We all understand something of prayer. One of the stories that came out of the London bombings when the people were trapped down in the tube station was the amount of people who started to pray for the first time, or certain prayers that were coming out because people were desperate, and in a desperate situation, people start to cry out to God. And we've all been in that situation, I'm sure, as well. Like, oh God, help. But again, is that just me?
Yeah.
You've been in that place like, I don't even know what to say, God, but help.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And to kind of understand it, sometimes to get to the root of something, it's really good to strip it back to its purest form. To understand it at its purest form. And the latest fad with regards to eating is all about eating clean, it's called, and the diet plan of eating clean. And it's where what you eat is as close to its organic state as possible. So there's no preservatives, there's no salt, there's nothing added into it. It's literally as it is. We kind of tried it a little bit for one meal and it was a bit bland. So Sam was kind of like, if this is eating clean, then I'm not into it. It's like, it didn't really quite work. So my excuse was to stick some Nando's peri-peri sauce on anything and it's instantly transformed into an amazing meal. And it burns your mouth off as well. Don't give it to your two-year-old, it'll make them cry. As we strip things back and we see it in its natural purpose, things in its pure state, and what I want to quickly look at is the church, the gathering of God's people in its pure state. Before God TV, before the internet, before thousands and thousands of bookshops, before daily devotionals, before apps, before everything else, the church in its pure form, the gathering of people of Jesus in its purest form. So we're going to need to go to Acts 2, verse 42. And I just love this scripture because it's so powerful, but yet so basic at the same time. It's just there, clearly, and it just says, okay, this is what we did. And it says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. That middle bit, I'm going to kind of leave, because next week's is going to be about, am I connecting with others? And I don't want to step onto that one too much. But those first bits, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. It's basically, what were the apostles teaching? Whatever they'd learnt from Jesus. So Jesus crucified, died, raised again. And whatever he taught them whilst he was here, there wasn't anything else. They didn't start having their own theories at this point. It was the gospel of Jesus in its purest form. And they devoted themselves to that. They devoted themselves to the teachings of Jesus. They devoted themselves to prayer and getting together. And I love that. It's like, that's not complicated.
Not sure.
We sometimes complicate things. As the church, wherever it is in the world, we want to take something, we look at it and we say, we look at that middle bit and we think, okay, they're devoting themselves together and they got together, and we like to stick a label on something and create a group and create something which says, this is where we're going to gather together. But these guys weren't doing that. They were just getting together. They were getting together, looking at the teachings of Jesus. Can you remember when Jesus said that? Remember when Jesus was teaching us about that? Remember when Jesus did that? Encouraging one another with the stories of Jesus. Encouraging one another with the teachings of Jesus. And that's what I love about the apostles' teaching. It was nothing more than what Jesus had taught them. And then they were continuing with that. Prayer, getting together and praying. We start to see the effects of that later on in Acts. As they're praying, they're getting, people are marvelling at them. People are looking and they're being amazed at what's happening, and their number is growing daily. They didn't have an alpha course, they didn't have a getting together, they just did it. They just got together. And remember that they were actually under strict persecution at this point as well. The Romans weren't very happy about them gathering together. So getting it a bit in context, these guys were enjoying getting together because they just loved coming together, praying, hearing about Jesus, talking about Jesus, hanging out, having a bit of communion. I love Andy Elms' description. I'm sure it's Andy Elms of just saying, I don't really think they did communion how we do communion. I think they would have just been sat around eating and having a drink, and then somebody would have just picked up some bread and said, hey guys, can you remember when Jesus said about the bread and it being broken and it being his body, let's remember him as we eat it. Let's have a drink of wine. Can you remember when Jesus said this was his blood? And it just being a little more, less formal, and then just getting together and loving being together. I love that about the church in its purest form. And obviously, as 2,000 years have gone by, the church has dealt with a lot internally, externally, and all the different church history that's gone on to produce to where we are today. And the church not necessarily being in its purest form as it was then, but yet Jesus' declaration that he will build his church continues. I will build my church. Nothing's been able to stop that, and it keeps going forward. And as that happens, we still have a church, and we still have a pure church. Jesus is coming back for a church that is pure, without fault or without blemish. And it's still pure, but the way we sometimes go about things, it's become a bit more salty. And we've put a few more preservatives in there, and it's started to become a bit more spiced up and less organic. But it's very easy to just live that life. Am I reading? Am I praying? Okay, so today, how do we have the apostles' teaching? We've got our Bible, we've got the Word, we've got the teachings written down for us. And we can take that, and we can take it simply and let God speak to us through that. We can be encouraged by the Word of God. Not books, not revelations. Don't get me wrong, all these things are great, and all these other things that we can pick up are brilliant, and they edify us, they lift up the body. But nothing beats the Word of God. Nothing beats reading the Bible. And we all know, if you're like me and you're used to reading your Bible and you don't for a couple of days, like if you go on holiday or something happens where something's out of the norm, you start to feel starved. So I think, man, I need to read something good. And in 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, it says this with regards to the Word. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realise what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now, if my Bible was to have like a description on the back, do you know our books have a description telling you what it's about? That would be what I'd put on there. Okay, this book is going to be, and it gives you that nice list. Okay, if I read that, that's what it's going to do. Some of it's great, some of it's a bit more challenging. It corrects us on what's right and wrong. Sometimes we don't want to know what's wrong. We kind of just want to do what's wrong because, you know, ignorance is bliss, isn't it? Well, I didn't know that, so it's fine. Well, you do now, so you better do something about it. And that's a challenge. But when we do know the stuff, when we do have God's Word, when we do have a Bible, we're able to read it. And those of us that follow the nations of the world where the persecution is really harsh, and what people would do to get their hands on a page of the Bible, I could access any translation of the Bible on my phone right now. I could read it in any language, any translation, whatever form I want, picture Bible, audio Bible, visual Bible. I've got access to it. And you think there's people somewhere in the world that they would give their lives to get a page of the Bible. And that shows how important this book really is. So don't take it lightly. Are you reading? Are you praying? Don't just get caught up on reading stuff, but make sure it's reading your Bible as well. There's sometimes a temptation, even when you're reading Christian literature, that you skim over the scriptures that are in there. Does anybody do that?
Yeah.
They think, well, I kind of know that. I just want to read what the author is saying rather than what the scriptures say. And you think, oh, yeah, so that's the scripture, I know that. What's he got to say about it? Rather than reading the actual... So we even cut out the Word of God out of the books that people have written. So it's like, well, I don't need to read that because I know it. So I'm just going to read what this person's got to say about it, rather than having more of an attitude of, okay, I'm going to read the scripture, let God speak to me through it, and then I'll see what this person's got to say about it. Wouldn't that be a much more healthy order? So yeah, I urge you not to skim over, because I know again I can look into my past and think, I used to do that. Whereas I tend to take a bit more time now reading over the scripture part, because I want to get my own revelation as well as the author's revelation. I want to know what God's saying to me as well as what he's saying to Steve Uppel, if I'm reading one of his books, or an Andy Elms book, or whoever I might be reading. It's like, these guys have heard great stuff, but I want to hear great stuff as well. And God wants to do that. So reading, I don't really want to say much more on that. You're all a healthy bunch of Christians. If you're not, you will be now, because you're going to start reading a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. If you don't have one, but I think everybody's got an iPhone just about now, so get the Bible app. You can have any Bible you want on there. And dig into it. Get into it, because this, for us, this is our apostles' teaching.
Yes.
This is what we've got from God in its purest form. We can't get anything any purer than this. When it comes to reading, we can't get more pure and closer to the heart of God in what he wants to say to us than what we've got in these pages. That is a healthy, wholesome thing to be reading. Pick it up, read it in place of some of the other trash that you're probably reading at the moment, and see your life change. And see the health check come alive inside of you as a result of that. So the doctor says, do this instead of this. Wow, I feel so much better. Get into reading the word of God, because that is your apostles' teaching. That is the purity of what God has got for you. Okay, you still with me?
Yeah.
Cool, right, praying. So they were praying, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, one another, having some food together. Again, wise people. Wise people always have food together. Put food with it. It's like, it's the, you know, it's just, it just makes life so much better. Everything becomes easier when there's a burger in the midst of it. Or everything becomes easier when you're sharing a pizza, or everything becomes easier when, you know, I don't know, maybe for some people it's not, but for me, life is just kind of, everything's like food. You know, Elijah revolves around food. I took him to his toddler group the other day, and all he was interested in was getting a biscuit. And he's just renowned for this now, that he's going to want a biscuit, and he'll even go in the kitchen with the woman that runs the group to get a biscuit. When he got his operation the other week, all he wanted all morning, bless him, he couldn't have any food from his tea time the night before. You know, they got a fast. It's like, man, he's never gone this long without food in his life. So all morning before the operation, biscuit. And as soon as he'd like come round, he was a little bit groggy, got him back on the ward, first word, biscuit. And he made up for it as well. So they kind of like saying, they can have one. It's like, yeah, that's not going to work. So we had one biscuit, and then the nurses were gone for ages. I was like, oh, you know what? If he's sick, he's sick. Let's let him go. So just like three custard creams, a pot of crackers, and some crisps later. He was perfectly fine. No problem. But everything's better when we have food. That's why I love, you know, these guys were getting together. They were loving reading the Bible together. They were loving having food together and then praying. And prayer, we get so caught up on prayer that we just forget about how important it is to us sometimes. We actually lose the purity of prayer in our lives. We get so manufactured into certain ways of doing stuff, like praying things the same way, praying the same thing, doing things, and yet praying the same thing is great when we're declaring it. I'll come on to that later. But sometimes we just trivialize these things to the point where we lose the effectiveness in our lives.
Yeah.
Does prayer lose its effectiveness? Not really. But it could be far more effective if we were doing it in the way that God intends for us to do it. I just want to go through some of these scriptures about prayer. Mark 11:24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Interesting prayer. Interesting. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray things and I don't believe that I've received it. I find it really difficult sometimes. I'll pray things and I find it really hard to take a hold of it. I find it really hard, but sometimes I just have to pray it anyway. Sometimes I just have to declare the thing anyway. I think, God, my faith is shaking. There's, you know, I'm just not, I haven't got faith for this. I just can't hold on to this. God, I need some help with that. There's a specific prayer. God, help me know that you're going to do this.
Yeah.
Help me trust in your power.
Yeah.
Help me trust that what you've put on the inside of me is more than enough to get me through this situation. John 14, 13 to 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah.
And then you start to read these things together and you start to think, God's just saying, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Awesome, awesome stuff. Where we sometimes go wrong is we don't pray big enough and we don't pray specific enough. We keep our prayers small. We bring a limitless God who's able to do immeasurably more than we could dream or imagine into our human thinking. Or we think, I can't ask for any more. I can't ask God for anything else. We start to forget the fact that we are children of an almighty, glorious, rich God and start to live in a poverty mentality of thinking, well, God will never do that for me. God's never done that for me. I must not be one of the favourites. I'm not, you know, I don't. And we still just lose it and we forget and we don't ask God anymore. And we don't speak, we don't pray big prayers anymore. And we don't pray specific. To pray big prayers is a good thing because God is looking to do the big things in your life.
That's right.
We might have had things that shake us. We might have had things that rock us and knock us down and think, I just can't, there's pointless praying because it didn't work last time. And I'm sure, regardless of where we are in our faith, regardless of our experience with God, we've all probably found ourselves in situations where we just look back and say, God, I just don't know why it had to be that way. Why did it have to happen that way? I prayed to you and it didn't happen. But, you know, we just have to make that declaration that God is good. We trust that God's good and whatever goes on, we leave in his hands. And we have to get on, move on, but not let our prayers become small as a result of it. Because the enemy wants us to pray small prayers. If the devil can keep you praying small prayers, then he's going to be happy. Keeping you down. Don't allow God to respond into the action that he's wanting to respond into. A great quote from Craig Groeschel, who's the senior pastor of LifeChurch.tv in the States. Amazing ministry, massive work. They kind of get the magnitude of their size and scale. 2 weekends ago, they baptized 2,000 people in 1 weekend. So I'm kind of like, whoa. I was talking to somebody the other day, I said, I can't even get my head around that. I can't even imagine, like, how do you even baptize 2,000 people in a weekend? It's like, it's crazy. And he says, praying big, bold, and specific prayers, because general prayers don't move God to specific actions. So general prayers just being a bit kind of like, okay, God, bless me, or bless them. It's quite general. It's not specific. But we start to get specific about things. God, do this. God, I need to see this happen. God, heal, blah, 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 blah. Go into all the stuff. Being very specific. Big and specific. Recognising that the power of God on the inside of us is able to release something far greater than our minds can comprehend. We just can't get a hold of it. We can't grasp a hold of it in our human thinking. That's why at the moment there's such a push. You'll notice on the prayer clock and in the prayer meetings, it's saying pray in tongues to start with. Pray in the spirit. Engage your spirit. Because when you engage your spirit, you start to pray bold, you start to pray big, and you start to pray specifically what is on the heart of God. You're not just reeling off things for the sake of it. And you know, prayer is prayer however you do it, within reason. Just put that on there as a side note. But when we start to engage something of God, we start to pray big, bold and specific prayers because God is saying, I'm hungry to do more. I want to do more. And sometimes we have to get specific. We have to really get into what it is that God's got. And we kind of sometimes we have the stuff sat there and we just never access it. I'm so often talking about the seeds of greatness on the inside of us that we've still yet to crack open, that we've still yet to access, that we've still yet to see come alive on the inside of us. And yet prayer is so much the same, is that God is able to do far more than we know, but yet we don't access it. You know, it's like when we've got things and we just never find out how they work. And eventually we're like years later, you find out, whoa, I never knew it did that. Ever had that happen? I'm thinking about my car. I could never find out how the interior light came on. I just couldn't find out. I was like, I was flicking it backwards and forwards and thinking, you know what? It must just not work. It must just not work. Never mind. And one day I'm driving along and I'm in fog and I'm trying to figure out how to get my fog lights on as well. As you can see, I'm a brilliant driver and I know my car really well. And there's the little knobbly bit that twists round is for your lights, your fog lights and everything else. And I just, as I was driving along, I just pulled it by mistake. And as it pulled out, the interior light came on. I was like, I'm there driving through central Leeds with fog surrounding me, thinking, well, that's how you do it. And I think I had the car about 2 years by this point, and I'd never figured out how to do it. It did work, and it was there, and it was powerful enough to come on, and the ability to do it was there. But I just never figured out how to do it. It took a little bit of a mistake to just like, whoa, okay. Let there be light, it's great, okay. Now, okay, right, so that I have to pull that in and out. Okay, I get it now, it works, it does work. For all these years, it's been dormant, it's not being used. All these times I've been sat there doing mileage sheets in the dark. All this time I've been trying to, like, do things in the car. All wasted. It worked all along. I just needed to find out how to do it. And sometimes for us, the power of prayer is there, but we just need to tap into what it is that needs to happen to enable those big, bold, specific prayers to come out. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations where the specific prayer requires a word. Okay, so I'm going to kind of go in to some personal stuff now, which I've not brought in a preach before, which I've not talked about to many people until today. But last year, at the back end of last August, me and Sam lost our second child, which might come as a bit of a shock to some people. And it was a hard time, it was a tough time, it was awful. And anybody that's been through that will know how difficult a time that is as a family. But that... it's awful. Anybody that's experienced miscarriage or been in that situation, it's a hard time to go through. And it was a difficult time to go through. We found it a challenge, and in some ways it's still a challenge. And as we work through that, it's tough because you find yourself in a situation where, okay, God, this is just weird. You know, you're meant to be, you know, you go through all the usual stuff. But and so this, you know, to jump forward, we're expecting another one now, praise God. But the moment we found out that we were expecting this other child on Easter Sunday morning, funnily enough, the anxiety and fear levels shot up through the roof. Again, you're thinking, you're a senior pastor, you shouldn't be fearful or anxious. You know, what's the matter with you? You meant to set an example. I do set an example because I'm still here doing what I do despite what goes on. Fear and anxiety level shot through the roof. I was just like, I cannot deal with this. Because in my head it was just like, it's going to happen again, we're going to have to go through all this again. And I just remember I was putting Elijah to bed, and I was laid next to his bed, and I just say, God, I can't do this. I can't go through this fear and anxiety. I can't keep standing up and preaching, I can't keep doing my job, I don't want to see anybody, God, I just want to lock myself away until everything's okay. And I just had to really pray, and God just said, and he just spoke to me and said, this baby will not die but live and declare the word of the Lord.
Come on.
Amen. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And I was thinking, I've heard that somewhere before. And then I found out that it's in Psalm 118. It's one of the declarations that David makes about, I will not die but live and proclaim the word of the Lord. And to get that specific word in prayer, and then to keep praying that word, every time fear tried to attack, every time anxiety came in, this baby shall not die but live and declare the word of the Lord. Praise God, we had a scan yesterday, the baby's doing well, there's a heartbeat, there's a fully formed baby there, and things are looking great. And just to have that relief, you know, kind of got to the point where we just ended up paying to go to have a private scan. Because it's like, I just can't take this anymore. I'm not waiting another 2 weeks to go to the hospital. Let's just do it. And praise God, that specific prayer. And I've got to say that sometimes I was proclaiming that word, this baby shall not die but live, and proclaim the word of the Lord. And I just didn't believe it. That the anxiety and the fear was so strong that specific bold prayer was all that I could hang on to. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where it's a small word, it's a scripture, it's an encouraging word from somebody else, and we think, okay, God, this is all I've got. I know you're a good God, and I know you're never going to hurt me, and I know that you're an amazing God. And I know that when I pray, you answer my prayers. You don't always answer them how I want you to, but you answer them. But yet, to be able to pray something specific and bold, and sometimes I was thinking, man, I'm praying this, and I was declaring it, I was thinking, I don't even believe it myself. I can't even take a hold of this for myself. I can't take a hold of this for my family because I'm so anxious and I'm so fearful and I'm struggling so much with this. But God, I'm going to declare it anyway. I'm going to say it anyway, whether I believe it or not. Whether I believe it, I'm going to choose to listen to your voice. I'm going to choose to accept the fact that you have said this. And sometimes I'd find myself thinking, oh, well, did I really hear? We've all been there before, haven't we? Okay, God, did I really hear from you? Did I hear right? Generally, we hear right, we just misinterpreted it differently. We hear it and we think of it in our way, but yet God's got a completely different plan of how that's going to look. Thankfully, he gave me a very specific, clear word this time. It wasn't some kind of like weird scripture that you had to pick apart and think, well, does that really mean that? It was very clear, it was very specific, it was very bold. And I was able to declare that and make a point of saying that and continue to make that point and continue to declare that over this child's life, through the rest of the pregnancy, through their life, and say, okay, just because this word was given when they were forming in their mother's womb, the word doesn't change. So I can continually, boldly, specifically pray that this child will live and will proclaim the word of the Lord.
Yes.
We all want that for our children, don't we? So, you know, you've got to. And now I'm feeling a little better about it now, having seen the scan. But you know, I'm still thinking, okay, God, you know, we all hang in there. You have to keep declaring these things. You keep pressing on. And as we do that, we see God respond and move to a specific action. A general prayer doesn't move God to a specific action. He wants us to be very, very specific. God, do this. God, I want you to do this now. And I'm bold enough to pray it, do something about it, and we see God respond and move into action. Again, timing, not always how we want it to be. Situations don't always look how we want them to look, but God moves in response to our prayers. Individual prayers, corporate prayers, family prayers, and just to point on that, pray as families, that's a healthy thing to do. Pray together as a family, regardless of how young your children are. Regardless of how old your children are. Pray together as a family. It's a precious thing to do, to be around together and to pray and say, okay, guys, we're going to pray today. Pray at the beginning of the day, before the kids go to school or wherever. Pray together. First thing, as we heard last week, is the God of the first. Give him the first of the day, individually, and give him the first of the day as a family. We can always tell them we have a much better day as a family when we pray together. We generally will aim to do that. Sometimes it will just forget. We all forget sometimes. But we kind of have to get to the point. Sam's usually the good one in this, and she will say, look, we haven't prayed. Let's get together and pray. And then we will, and things will start to shift and get loads better. But pray as family. Husbands, wives, pray together. There's nothing more powerful and more strengthening that you can do in your marriage than praying together.
Yeah.
And not necessarily just praying for your marriage, but praying together. One of the most amazing times in our prayer life as husband and wife, and myself and Sam, was when we used to pray together through the Barnabas prayer guide for the persecuted church before we went to bed on a night. Were we praying for our marriage? No. Were we praying for a particular thing in our family? No. But we were praying for a specific thing and a specific purpose, and it drew us closer together. I often say this, that if you want to get close to somebody, pray with them. If you want to get to know somebody, pray together. Because I can guarantee that when you pray together, you start to draw closer together. The people who I pray with, I'm closer to than the people I don't pray with. So that's why I pray with Sam all the time, because he's the one I should be the closest to out of everybody. So I would like to involve Elijah in some way. You know, he's still not aware of what's going on to some degree. But as we pray, we start to take a hold of what God has got for us, for our families, for ourselves, for our marriages. As we do that, it's powerful. Be specific. Pray specific things for your children. Pray specific things for your marriage. Draw yourselves together. Give the first of the day to God. Pray together. It's a strong thing to do. It's a strengthening thing to do. And I can guarantee things start to shift. Be specific. Be bold. And pray. Have you heard of Martin Luther? Great church reformer. German guy. In the 1500s, we've got a lot to be thankful to Martin Luther for. He really did cause a major reformation within the church, of the shifting round and seeing the church become more pure again. This is a great story that I heard about him praying a bold and specific prayer, and just going to read this. It says, in 1540, Luther's great friend and assistant, Ferndrich, I can't pronounce his name, some German name, became sick and was expected to die within a short time. On his bed, he wrote a loving farewell note to Luther with a trembling hand. Luther received the letter and sent back a reply. And this is just a great reply. I can guarantee that most of us wouldn't have this response if we had a letter from somebody saying, this is a situation we're in. I command thee, in the name of God, to live, because I still have need of thee in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that thou art dead, but will permit thee to survive me. For this I am praying. This is my will, and my will be done, because I seek only to glorify the name of God. Wow. That's bold and that's specific. You're not going to die. I need your help in reforming the church. You're not going to die before me either, is what he's saying. And for this, I'm praying, because my will is going to be done, because my will is to glorify God. Wow. So it's like, thinking, your will be done. Martin Luther just knew there and then. He was able to pray, my will be done, because my will is God's will anyway. This is the outcome. His friend had already lost the ability to speak when Luther's letter came. He recovered completely and lived 6 more years and survived Luther himself by 2 months.
Wow. Yeah.
A specific prayer, a specific response. The guy recovered, the guy got better, the guy helped. Luther died, 2 months later, he died. Amazing.
Yeah.
And you see the kind of God we're serving, who will launch into a specific response when we are specific with what we say. I can't stand up here and say what you should pray for yourselves. You're going to have specific things that you want to see God do. You've got the power within you to do it. It's Pentecost today, that's great. On the day of Pentecost, power came and filled the believers. Today, that power is in you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power is in you to pray those prayers. To see an almighty God responding to action on your behalf. To say, okay, God, I'm reading your word. I'm reading the Bible. I'm reading what it is you're saying. I'm learning more about you. I'm drawing nearer to the heart of God as a result of what I'm reading in the word. And I'm praying. And I'm praying bold. I'm praying big. And I'm praying specific. Because as I do that, God, I know you're going to move on my behalf. Maybe you're hanging on to a word, a bit like I am at the moment. Maybe you've got a specific word from God that you're just hanging on to. Maybe you don't have a word. You're just praying, and that's enough. Be big. Be bold. Be specific. So the health check question, am I reading and am I praying? The answer probably is yes. But the benefits of that is something far greater than the question itself. The health check of that is massive. The health check of doing that is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And as you make those changes in your life, you will be healthier. The word over this house over this year was establishing a healthy house. As I often say, it's more than just the name for the cleaning day. It's about a healthy house, seeing this house healthy, seeing the homes that connect to this place healthy in every area. It's been on prayer clock for a while to see the families and the people that connect with ECC healthy, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, and financially, because we want to see the health of God running through. Prayer and reading the word is a healthy thing to do. But praying specific, big, bold prayers really cause God to move into action. I want to urge us today, let's not get caught up on what hasn't happened. Let's get caught up on what's going to happen. Because I can guarantee it's all too easy to look and think, well, it didn't work last time. Things didn't work out. Things weren't right. And to get stuck in that place. But we've got to move out of that place and move into the place of, okay, God, that's what went before. Now I'm going to pray for the things that are going to happen. Now I'm going to take a hold of the things that are going to move forward. Now they're going to take hold of the things that you want to do. And I'm going to pray them. And that's why it's awesome to engage your spirit. Because the moment you engage your spirit, if you're praying what God wants you to pray, I can guarantee he's going to answer. If he's not going to ask you to pray something, he's not going to answer. Sometimes we pray things and maybe we were never meant to pray them in the first place. And we just don't see the answer because, or the answer that we want, because it's not what God had originally planned. But the more our heart beats with the Father's heart and we pray what God wants us to pray, it's 100% success rate. Okay, God, what do you want me to pray? Boom, yeah, answer. Excellent, done. Get close to the heart of God. And the way you do that, getting into the Word and engaging the Holy Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we can pray for you today. It's a great day to do it.
Yeah.
To be filled with the Holy Spirit, because once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your prayer life is transformed because it becomes more than words. It becomes the very power of God working through you and getting ready to respond. Hear God's heart and pray it. Hear God's heart for your kids. Hear God's heart for your family. Hear God's heart for your spouse. Hear God's heart for your parents. Hear God's heart for your friends, the people that you hang out with. When you start to hear God's heart, the prayers that you pray for those people are specific and bold, and you start to see the results of it. And that's an amazing thing to see happen. It really is. So, question number 3, am I reading and praying? Yes, I'm sure you are. But hopefully this morning's health check will have enabled you to do it maybe a little differently and more effectively than perhaps you are doing at the moment. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.